Look at some lessons, begin some lessons on celebrating his birth, Christmas. It's always a joy to go over the Christmas story, to hear about the birth of Christ, and to think that the Savior came to set us free, suffered so much in our place, gave his life so that we could have life. That was the whole purpose of his coming to this earth, so that he could save us. And someday he's coming again. And this time he'll come to receive us unto himself, that where he is, we will be also. We're looking forward to that. There's so many things that we can learn from the biblical accounts of the birth of the Savior. And we're going to be mainly just looking into Matthew chapter 1's account tonight. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." And so notice that Jesus' mother was espoused to Joseph. And before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, what evidence do we have that Mary was a virgin? Well, quite frankly, we have a lot of evidence. We have the Word of God so clear and plain teaching upon this. Why is the virgin birth so important? Well, we'll get to that a little later, and we'll answer that. But first of all, we're going to look at the evidence we have that Mary was a virgin. First of all, it says there, his mother, Mary. So we have his mother. It tells us that Joseph was not his father. His mother, Mary. When his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph. It doesn't read as though Joseph is his father here. And notice, the word espoused is the next thing there in B, espoused. We have that word. This signified that a contract of marriage had already been agreed upon by the groom and the father of the bride. We're talking about the customs back in that day. What it was like when Jesus was born. The customs of today are not the same. When we talk about this thing of being espoused, we think about an engagement. And that was not the case here. And espousing in that day was, under Jewish law, the couple would be legally married. And you notice that Joseph is called her husband in verse 19. And so under this contract, they would be legally married, and a separation before intimacy had to be observed. That was a custom. They did it. They had not come together. And notice the Bible says there very clearly, before they came together in verse 18. The groom would be preparing a home for his bride and himself. He would be preparing a home for them. And this was the custom. Boy, isn't that something when you think about that, and how that the church is the bride of Christ, and that this was agreed upon by the groom and the father of the bride, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. The church, the bride of Christ, what has he done for us? Our Savior, he's gone to prepare a place for us. And someday he will come back and receive us unto himself. Very exact picture of the marriage situation back then. The bride of Christ is treated in the same way as was the custom back then. And so we notice here that these verses very clearly, these words in these verses very clearly reveal that Mary is a virgin. We're going to look at some scriptures here that we have printed out in the notes. Yes, Gerald.
Jesus,
B is espoused, is the first word there, espoused. This signifies that a contract of marriage had already been agreed upon. Under Jewish law, the couple would be legally married, but they would not be together. That would come later. The bride would prepare, the groom would prepare a place, and then he would come and get his bride and take her to that place. And then the marriage would be consummated. That was the custom in that day, the marriage ceremony. So we're going to look at these verses, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, as the scripture is so very, very clear on the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Then in Matthew chapter 1 again, in verse 22 and 23, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. We just read that prophecy in Isaiah, that it might be fulfilled by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So then look in Luke chapter 1 and verse 27, Luke's account. Chapter 1, verse 27. To a virgin, verse 26 says, in the 6 months the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So notice very clearly the Bible two times in that verse telling us that she's a virgin. Look in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And I think I wrote the wrong reference there. It's chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. What is it? 4, 4 and 5. I must have been, oh, no wonder I'm in Ephesians. That's not the right place. That's in Ephesians. I was in Ephesians. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So notice here, it's made of a woman. That's very clear. Scripture doesn't leave us to guess. There are those many today who deny the virgin birth of Christ, but you have to deny the Bible to do that. Why is this so important? Why is it so important? Well, look in 1 Corinthians chapter, why is the virgin birth so important? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, if Christ were of Adam's seed, if he were of Joseph, he would have been born into this sinful race. He would have had the blood of Adam in his veins, and all die. He could not be the Savior. He had to be born of a virgin, or he could not have provided the perfect Lamb. Jesus could not be the perfect Lamb. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Say, Pastor, these are all the simple things that we've known for so long. Well, the simple things are the very important things. The very basic doctrines, the most important. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Notice vain conversation. Vain means empty. It means nothing. And conversation is an old English word. Your manner of life, your behavior, how you live. It means nothing. That's not going to save us. Not how much we have, our silver and gold. You can't buy your way. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, if he would have been born of Adam, he couldn't be without blemish and without spot. Because the blood that would flow in his veins would be sinful blood. You see, if you have done any study or research and studying into the child always has the blood, never has any blood of the father, unless it's like Jesus. Now, if the child is born of a man, then it has the blood of the father. It has none of the blood of the mother. And that's the way it is, if I got that right. I think I'm right on that. And the blood of the father always transfers over to the child. And it doesn't do that, doesn't have the blood of the mother. If I remember right, I'm trying to get my memory back on that. I did a lot of research on that at one time and read all about it, and now my mind's playing tricks on me. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Notice the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot. If he had the blood of Adam, if Joseph would have been his father, he would have had the blood of Adam, and he could not be the perfect lamb. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I know you're familiar with this one. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He who knew no sin. That could not be if there wasn't a virgin birth. He would have been in the sinful race of Adam. But because he was born a virgin, he did not have the blood of Adam flowing in his veins. So, if Jesus were not virgin born, first of all, he could not be the perfect lamb. Secondly, he could not be the Savior. He couldn't save us. He could only die for his own sin. Just like we will have to die for our sins. He could not be the Savior if he had Adam's blood. He had to be born of a virgin. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Back to the book of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Notice it says he was a just man. And not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Here's another reason for the virgin birth. Joseph's not laying claim to this baby. And he's seeming to think that maybe she has been unfaithful. Reveals that Joseph felt Mary had been unfaithful to him. He has two choices. He can make her a public example, and very possibly under the Old Testament law, she would have been stoned. She would have been brought out before the elders of the city, and she would have been stoned to death. Or he could put her away privately. He could have her maybe just leave her and let her go off in a private place, or put her away in one of those homes where she would be treated very poorly throughout her life and die a lonely death. So this again speaks that Joseph knew her not, as it says in verse 25, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He knew her not. That's very clear in the scripture, and it's so, so important. He was a just man. Speaks again that Joseph knew her not. He was a just man. He was tried to do what was right. Now we notice in verse 20 it says, but while he thought on these things, we would do well to take heed to that phrase there, but while he thought on these things. How many times do we jump to conclusions? How many times do we jump into things? How many times we don't take the time to think about it? Joseph took time to think about it. He was thinking. He was pondering. What should he do? He was thinking about it. And look in these verses I listed there in Proverbs 21. We can learn from Joseph here. Joseph was a just man. And just as it was important that God choose Mary, it was important that God would choose Joseph to be a fatherly example to Jesus. Chapter 21 and verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. It pays to stop and think before we act. You know, like somebody said, make sure that your mind is in gear before your mouth is in motion, something like that. To think about things, to ponder, to make sure that we move in the right direction that God would have us to move in. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. 18:13. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. We might say, what does that mean? You talk about something before you know what it is. Well, what it's really saying here is that you hear something and then you answer it before you've really heard everything, before you've heard the facts, before you've taken the time to thoroughly investigate it, to thoroughly think about it, to thoroughly pray about it. You know, if that were to happen, why, a lot of the strife that goes on in churches wouldn't go on. A lot of the problems that arise wouldn't arise. If we just learn this thing from Joseph, just to think, to pray, to seek the Lord about it. And Isaiah, of course, 40 and 31, we're familiar with, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And to be careful that we think things out. So he is told then, notice what happens, but while he thought on these things, verse 20, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Remember, Mary had already been told in the book of Luke that by the angel that she would have a son. And she said, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? And now Joseph is becoming suspicious about her. And he's thinking about what to do. She's going to have this child. And what should I do? And as he thinks about it, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, tells him, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That's pretty clear, isn't it? The Bible makes it clear. He is told that the child is conceived of the Holy Ghost. Then notice verse 21. Now, all kinds of evidence we have that Mary was a virgin. And it's so crucial to our faith, the fact that our Savior was not of the line of Adam. He came as a perfect lamb, sinless, and never sinned. He who knew no sin, he became sin. He took our place there on the cross and bore our sin, the whole world, upon himself. And he could be the perfect sacrifice. He could be our Passover lamb because he's sinless. Could I die for everybody and pay the price? No, because I'm a sinner. Can't do that. Neither could Jesus if he were born of Adam. The virgin birth is so important. I've told you before, but I had a chaplain in the army that told me that he didn't believe in the virgin birth, and Christ could have shed milkshakes for all he cared. That's what he said. And it's so important. We have no salvation if Jesus is not who he claimed to be. If he was just a man born of Adam. If Joseph were his father. So we notice that verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The Bible does that quite often. You'll see some of the words in the Bible will be mentioned, and then right after it, it'll give the meaning. And that's what it does here. It gives the meaning of the name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name is to be called Jesus because this name means Savior. That's what it means. Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's why he's named Jesus. It means Savior. So, why is this name so special? Well, first of all, because it is Savior. And secondly, here, there in the notes, because God gave him this name. We read that in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. God said to call his name Emmanuel. And that's mentioned again here in verse 23 of Matthew 1. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, if you interpret it, it's God with us. God with us. Notice how the Bible uses that in connection with Jesus. Emmanuel means God with us. Well, why wouldn't that be? Because when you study the name Jesus, it comes from the Hebrew word Joshua, which means Jehovah saves, or Jehovah is salvation. We go back to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 10 and 11, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. So here's the Lord's witnesses. And of course, Lord in all capitals is the Hebrew word Jehovah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. So notice, there's no Savior besides the Lord. Look in chapter 12 of Isaiah and verse 2. chapter 12 and verse 2. Remember, the Hebrew word for Jesus is Joshua, which means Jehovah saves, or Jehovah is salvation. So we go back to the Lord saying that He's the only one, He's the only Savior, and we go to chapter 12 and verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. So very clearly you can see this name Jesus in its roots. The roots of the name Jesus is God with us. So that's why name called Emmanuel. We look in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3, the book of Exodus, chapter 6, clear back from the Bible in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, this is the Lord speaking, saith the Lord, the beginning and ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. So you can see why the name Jesus in its roots means God with us, Savior. He came. And all of a sudden, my mind, my memory kicked back in. And isn't that a wonderful thing when your memory kicks back in? But the mother does not, none of the mother's blood is in the baby. It's the blood from the father. And so Jesus had none of Mary's blood, which is defiled by sin. Had none of the blood of the Father, He had the blood of heaven, the blood of His Father. And He was perfect, the perfect Lamb of God. As John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And then Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, which is so clear, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. That's the same word that's translated gospel. That's our gospel. The gospel is the fact that Jesus came, He died, He was buried, and He arose again. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to a few people? No, to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. All the teaching of the Bible so abundantly clear that this is Christ the Lord, who came to die for us, to pay the price for our sin. And we have a Savior, the perfect Lamb, the Old Testament. It amazes me when you read the Old Testament how often the sacrifices were made. There were several blood sacrifices made throughout the day, and they were made all every day of the year, 360 days of the Jewish year. Every day the blood was being shed. You realize what that says? It says that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Every day. All sufficient, always, the blood of Christ cleanseth us. And Jesus said, one last verse here in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Chapter 1 and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Notice that first begotten of the dead. I don't know of any of the false leaders of the cults, of the false religions that are so abundant around us, whose leaders are alive, who came back to life. They're all still dead in the grave. But Jesus arose again, was seen of the disciples for 40 days, and then he ascended up into heaven. And the angel said, this same Jesus which is taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go up into heaven. He will come back and he will receive us unto himself. And if you know him, you know he's a living Savior. You know he's alive because he's real in our lives and how he leads us. And he left us the Holy Spirit to guide us. What a blessed salvation we have. And so he says, first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The blood of Adam couldn't do that. In Adam all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. And the key there is in Christ. You've got to be in Christ. Well, how are you in Christ? First of all, you got to acknowledge that you are a sinner. You got to realize that Christ paid the price for your sin. And you got to be willing to accept what he's done for you and ask him to forgive you of your sin and save you. And then you will be birthed into the family of God. Repent of our sin, turn to Christ, and be saved. Accept the Bible's message that the Savior came. He was born of the Virgin. He was who he claimed to be. This is God with us, who came to die that we might live. Praise God for it. And so we celebrate his birth because he came to free us from our sin, came to save us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for just a very simple lesson that we all know so well, but oh so important. Because if it were not so, we would have no salvation. We would have no hope to be freed from our sin. And we're so thankful that the Savior did come. And that, dear Lord Jesus, you did take our place. You gave your life that we could have life. And help us this Christmas season not to forget the real meaning of Christmas, but to keep our focus upon you and to love you more, serve you more, and be more for you in this coming year. Help us to be all that you want us to be. We thank you so much. We love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.